was thinking today on the ride down, since the days of Jesus Christ and the apostles, there are three series of events, I suppose, that have changed this world. And it takes a lot to change the world. But when Mr. Gutenberg invented that printing press, that changed everything. And then somebody you should have heard about in school, but you didn't. The second great event was God raising up a wild man named Sir Francis Drake. And Drake pretty much broke the power and wealth of the Pope. And that made possible what was going to come to pass in 1611. And that was the entrance into this world of our King James Bible. You know, when a hurricane hits in Florida or the power goes out, all you need is one little candle to get through your house at night, and you're glad to have it. And that little bit of light is enough to get you to the kitchen and get you to the car to go to work and that sort of thing. But when the power comes back on and all the lights break forth, you blow that candle out. And you can say what you will about Luther and those men in the Reformation time, they might have had just a little candlelight to get you through a very, very dark place. But I'm telling you, when this King James Bible came on the scene, it was no more halfway out of Rome or three-quarter way out of Rome or seven-eighths way out of Rome. We said goodbye to that old monster forever. And everywhere this King James Bible has been preached, whether in the life of an individual or the life of a nation, righteousness has replaced wickedness. Holiness has replaced filth and dirt. And you see just the opposite. Look what's become of our nation as we've turned away, not from church attendance, but from the King James Bible. We probably have more people going to church now than we've ever had. We probably have more churches. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize to all you that nobody here, but I'm sorry. They're not churches. They're journeys or waterfalls or rocks or rivers or blowing breezes. But we've got more people attending religious services in our country than we've ever had. But it just gets dirtier and dirtier and darker, and I'm telling you, the light comes from this word. From this word. It doesn't come from religion. It comes from the Word of God. I'm glad we've got it. I'm glad the Lord gave me a copy. I got saved reading the Bible. I didn't get saved somebody knocking on my door. I didn't get saved in a church service walking an aisle. I just knew I was going to hell. People used to know that back in America. I knew that growing up. I knew Jesus was the only way to heaven. I didn't believe on him, but I believed in him. I was just a good old typical Southern American. But I finished high school and running out in the world, and I won't tell you all the sin I was involved in. It doesn't matter now. It's gone. God doesn't remember it. I'm trying to forget it. But I started sitting up nights reading this Bible and started in Genesis, and that was pretty good. And first half Exodus was pretty good. But I'll tell you something. As a lost man, you hit the second part of Exodus and turn to Leviticus hoping it's going to pick up. It didn't pick up. Got into Numbers is more of the same, except for a few guys getting swallowed up into hell and people getting bit by snakes and that sort of thing. But I'll tell you what I found out reading through this Bible. And I'd been in Sunday school off and on. My family go to church for a while and then get out of church for a while. But I knew about Noah the ark. I didn't know about Noah and the drunk. We didn't have a flannel graph on Noah laying there drunk on wine. I knew about Abraham, you know, the answering the call and Father God's chosen people, but nobody ever taught us about that Hagar thing in Sunday school. And I knew Moses, you know, looked a lot like Charlton Heston and had been in a movie. But I didn't know he'd killed a man, done 40 years for it. And far from turning me against the Bible, you know what God did? He began to speak to my heart. If those men needed a Savior, where are you? If those men had sin in their life and I didn't mind writing it down in the book, how about you? And the more I read that Bible, the more I'm still living in sin, still running the world. The more I read that Bible, the more I just got scared of hell. I knew God was against me. I knew what I'd done was going to cost me my soul. And the night before I got saved, as an unsaved man in the world, 19 years, I read all the way through to, I was all the way in Daniel. That's how Forgive me, brother. My testimony is not like the ones I've heard all my life. So, well, I was living out there in sin. It was killing me. It was destroying me. And I just needed Jesus. I'm just telling you, I was enjoying the world. Yeah. And the people I knew that were saved were not enjoying being saved. Yeah. Right. I wasn't about to give up a good time for their bad time. You go to church. You want to go over this Saturday night?
No, I got to go to church. No, we don't do those things. No, we Christian. I'm a Christian. I can't do that.
Boy, spare me from that. You know, you get afraid enough of going to hell, you'll get in even on that sour-faced Christianity. But I read all the way up through Daniel, and the night before I got saved, the last thing I read before I went to sleep was God turning Nebuchadnezzar into a beast. And that man crawling around the backyard for 7 years, eating grass like an ox, and his fingernails growing out, and his hair going to look like... And man, all night long I kept thinking, what if God does that to me? What if tomorrow and I wake up, I don't even know it's me. I think I'm some kind of animal or something. What if God does that? That next morning, I got saved. Amen. I didn't get saved because I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't get saved because I wanted to be a new creature. I didn't know any of that stuff. I just knew I was going to hell, and the only way out was Jesus Christ. Now, since then, I can say tonight, I love the Lord. I didn't love him when I got saved. I wasn't really all that terribly sure who he was. But I knew I needed a Savior. And I'd never heard anybody say Buddha could save or Muhammad could save or any of the rest of that. So I trusted the Lord and he saved me, and then the light came on. So listen, if an unsaved boy reading the Old Testament can find out how to get saved, there's a lot of light in this book. A lot of light in this book. I think we ought to stick with it. Amen. Some people say those other Bibles are easy to understand. Lost man is not supposed to be able to understand the Bible. I wouldn't have a Bible. Lost man says, well, this one's easy. I can understand this. Yeah. I want one natural man can't get a hold of. Yeah. That's the one I want. All right, let's turn to Luke 15. Maybe I said that already. Luke 15, we'll start reading verse number 3, and then we'll have a little prayer. Luke 15, verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy should be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Father, help me to tell the truth tonight. Help me say what's right in the right way. Father, I pray that you'd help each one that's come to listen to hear what you desire for them to hear. Lord, no misunderstanding, no confusion, so we might leave tonight having allowed you to have your way in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to spend some time tonight preaching and studying what this passage is not about. And what it's not about is really a blessing. You'll enjoy the first 3/4 of this message. I'm going to be completely out of context, but that's okay. It'll be a blessing. And then before we're done, we'll get back in context and we'll look and see what the passage is all about. In Luke 15, we have three parables told by Jesus Christ in the picture for us how our God works in the salvation of sinners. Now, man is made in the image of God. So God's not black, he's not white, he's not brown, he's not short, he's not tall, he's not male or female or blonde or brunette or redhead. He is God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Ghost. These three are one. 1 John 5:7 in your King James Bible. Don't look for it in any other Bible, it's not there. But in the King James Bible, there are three that bear record in heaven. And so you are, made in the image of God, you are spirit and soul and body. You're one man, one woman, you're one person, but there's three. Spirit, soul, body. So God the Father, God the Son, God of the Holy Spirit. And just as your body has a certain set of functions, your soul has a certain set of functions, your spirit has a certain set of functions. So God the Father has a part in the salvation of a sinner. And a way that he works in saving sinners, so true of God the Holy Spirit, so true of God the Son. In this first parable, look at what we see about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he's the good shepherd. that giveth his life for the sheep. We know he's the chief shepherd soon to appear. Now look at this. The Bible says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave? That's the key word in that passage. He was willing to leave the glory of heaven, the praise of the angels and the cherubim, the seraphim, the wonder and the splendor of his Father's presence, and come down here into this world not to start a religion, come down here into this world not to work miracles, come down here into this world not to walk on water and give sight to the blind, but he said to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm so glad I have a Savior who seeks sinners. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God, and you might have thought you were looking for the Lord, about like Adam thought he was looking for the Lord, but I'm telling you, it's the Son of God, it's the voice of God, it's the Good Shepherd who comes seeking that lost sheep. Now, the Bible is, I don't want to say this. If you attend one of those nightclub churches, you don't get much Bible. Because in a nightclub church where we're trying to help your self-esteem, the Bible's not going to help. The Lord didn't liken you to a rhinoceros. He didn't liken you to an elephant or even a dog. He didn't liken you to a chicken or a sheep. A sheep. Now in my day, I have raised cattle and goats and chickens and turkeys and guinea fowl, and we've had dogs and cats and fish and birds, and I'm gonna tell you something. That dog will find its way home. You've heard these stories, you know, somebody went on vacation, they drove up to Wisconsin, they went up there and saw family, and the dog ran away chasing a cat, and the kids cried all the way home because they lost the dog, and then 6 months later they hear something on the front porch, and there's a dog laying there on the porch, and he found his way all the way home from Wisconsin. Those things happen. Sometimes you've heard these stories about some man, he just couldn't take it anymore, and he accidentally got his wife's cat caught in his car and drove off 45 miles, and the cat accidentally jumped out of the car, and then a week later, there's the cat. We've all heard those stories. In your life, you've never heard a story about a sheep finding its way back from anywhere. A sheep is dumb. Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, they can teach a tiger jump through a hoop. They can teach a lion to stand on his back legs. They can teach a bear to balance a ball on its nose. They can't teach a sheep to do nothing. They're just dumb. We had this sheep, and that thing, he'd wander off down the driveway and get out in the road about 300 feet from the house to the road, and that sheep standing on that road and yell and holler till you came and get it. You can see the sheep. That means the sheep can see the house. He can see the barn. He can see the other animals over there. He can't figure out how to walk back down that driveway with it right there in front of his face. That's a sheep. You know what the Bible said? If God said all we have gone astray, you might say, well, I'll find my way back. But when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray, you're lost. You're lost. You are not getting home unless a shepherd comes and finds you. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ came looking for this sheep. And if you were lost sheep, I hope you're glad tonight the Lord Jesus Christ came looking for you. Now, when he found that sheep, and I like this, it says he sought for it until he find it. Until he find it. I'm glad he didn't give me one tract. I'm glad he didn't give me one visit. I'm glad he didn't give me one sermon. I'm glad he didn't give me one warning. I'm glad the Holy Spirit didn't convict me one time. I'm glad it wasn't just, here's your chance, you better take it. I'm glad he came again and again and again and again and again, seeking, convicting, wooing, drawing, warning, pleading. Aren't you glad he sought until he found it? Amen. He didn't go out and have a look around the yard and say, well, that's all I can do. But he sought until he found that sheep. And then the Bible says when he found it, he did what any man would do when he found a sheep that caused him all that trouble. He kicked it. No, that's not what he said. He said he took that shepherd's staff and he said, I'm going to teach you a lesson, sheep. And he beat that thing till it. Oh, no. Oh, no. When he found that sheep, he Look, he took it up in his arms. No rebuke, no scolding, no punishment. He took it up in his arms and he laid it on his shoulders. Shoulders. That means he wrapped that thing all around him. And he carried it all the way home. I'm glad the Lord found me. He didn't beat me with a rod, though he could have. I'm glad he didn't kick me into hell, though he could have. I'm glad he stooped down and lifted me up out of my sin, stooped down, lifted me up out of my sorrow and despair. And then, listen, then he didn't put me back down and say, now you stay close. It's a long way home. He didn't say, now you follow right along or you're going to get lost again. He made sure there was no chance of that. He put that sheep upon his shoulders and he didn't put it down until he got home. Amen. And if the Lord found you and the Lord saved you and the Lord picked you up out of sin, he's not going to put you back down to follow him home. He's not going to say, now you keep up the best you can. Once he's picked you up, he's not putting you down until you get home. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the Son of God. That's the part he plays in the salvation of a sinner. Now, isn't that good? Amen. That's not what he's talking about. That's completely out of context. None of that is the intent of Luke 15. Now, look in your Bible. You say, well, what is it? Oh. Verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver. Boy, now she got a nice husband. 10 pieces of silver. If she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Uh-oh, got to get off track here for just a second. Sister, you drop a quarter on the floor and you can't see it without getting a broom to clear the dust away, you need to turn off Oprah. Too much Days of Our Wives and All My Illegitimate Children and As the World Burns and all the rest of that. You need the young and the godless and all that stuff. You just turn all that off. Anyway, she saw, here again, she sought diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, this coin, listen, I don't know if it's on a countertop and it got bumped. I don't know if it's in her purse and got spilled. I don't know where it was, but this I know. When that coin began to fall, it didn't fall halfway and then stop suspended in the air. When that coin began to fall, it didn't make its way almost to the ground and then it found its level and it stopped right there. When that coin began to fall, it fell and fell and fell and fell until it could fall no farther and it hit the bottom. And when it hit the bottom, the dirt surrounded it and the dust covered it. And before long, the elements and the things, the dirty things, the nasty things, the things of this world that should be swept away and should be cleared out of the way, they covered that thing up and it was lost. And as that coin lay there having hit the bottom, as that coin lay there covered in that dust and dirt, there was no power within that coin to climb out of that situation. There was no power in that coin to raise itself or lift itself or elevate itself. It's just laying there lost till someone should come and find it. Now the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, that the Spirit of the Lord is like a candle searching the inward parts. Yeah. But you don't read in this passage of that candle floating through the air and looking for that coin. You read about a woman taking the candle in her hand and a broom in her hand, and by diligent effort and labor on her part and with the illuminating light of that candle, the woman's effort and the candle's light work together to enable that coin to be found. Amen. You know what the Bible says in the book of Revelation? It doesn't say the bride says come. And it doesn't say the Spirit says come. It says the Spirit and the bride say come. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit into the world, and he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But when he ascended up to the right hand of the Father, he didn't send the Holy Spirit out there to fill all space. He didn't send the Holy Spirit out there to be in the trees and in the bushes and in the ground and in the water. No, he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell the believers, to indwell the believers. And to the believers, the scripture says that you are the espoused virgin bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as a wife is to the husband, so the church is to Jesus Christ. We know the picture. We know the illustrations. And so what we see here in Luke 15 is we see a picture of the church not without the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit not without the church. We see the bride and the Spirit working together to seek that lost coin and to find it. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit does convict sinners, but as we speak the word. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit does reprove the world, but as we proclaim the truth. But I'm telling you, in the same way, if you go out there in the energy of your flesh, and you go out there with a bad attitude and a bad spirit, you go out there for pride or boasting or for self-adulation, you can work yourself to death. And it's just man working and laboring in the energy of the flesh. But where the Holy Spirit of God in one hand and a broom in the other, with the energy and the diligence of God's church, where they work together, guess what happens? Souls are found and brought in, restored. Praise God. And so we see how the Holy Spirit works in the saving of a sinner. That's a blessing, isn't it? But it's not what he's talking about. That's completely out of context. So what is he talking about? Oh, you just have to stay a little bit longer. Verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now, there's some hard words in the Bible. There's some mean things that men have said to other men. There's some mean things that women have said to other people in the Bible. I don't know of any words that one man ever spoke to another man that were more hurtful than these words right here. Yeah. Do you know when a son receives inheritance from his father? When his father's dead.
Yeah. Right.
That boy walked in, he said, Daddy, as far as I care, you are dead to me.
Yeah.
You will never see me again. You will never hear from me again. I will never speak to you again. Give me what I've got coming, and I'm going to go enjoy your living and have no further relationship with you.
Right.
You know what that is? That's a picture of every lost man in this world. God's sun shines on every lost man in this world. God's rain falls on every lost man in this world. Every lost sinner in this world, by him, the apostle said, we live and move and have our being. The food on a lost man's table is a gift from God. The clothes on a lost man's back are a gift from God. The water he puts to his lips are a gift from God. But he lives with no word for his Father in heaven. He lives with no regard for his Father in heaven. He takes all that God has to give him, but he wants nothing to do with God. That's the picture of the lost man. And so the Bible says in verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, went to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Young man, I'm so glad you got a church like this to grow up in.
Yes.
That's no guarantee of your future. Young lady, I'm so glad you're in a place like this tonight. There's plenty of young women came up in this church, and they're out in a far country tonight. Let me tell you three things we learn about this wandering experience. First of all, that world, I don't care how much you leave with, that world can eat every bit of it. Whatever that father had, whatever he had, is enough to support a household, servants, hold feasts, celebrations, rings, robes, fatted calves. He's not a poor man. You can't win a big enough lottery that world won't eat every dollar of it. You can't throw enough money on that barroom counter that drink won't eat every bit of it up. You can't have a big enough roll of money in your pocket that dope dealer can't get every bit of it. None of that, after he'd seen the world and spent it all and bought it all and done it all. You know what the Bible said? He began to be in want. This world cannot satisfy you. It cannot satisfy you. Jesus had an opportunity one time to have all the kingdoms of the world. You know how long it took the devil to show him the glory of all the kingdoms of the world? The Bible says in a moment of time. That's it. Moment of time. Well, I lived here in 1970, when our whole world down here changed. Mickey Rat came to town. They built Disney World, and people thought, boy, this is it. It could never be any better than this. After 2 years, they had to build new rides. After 2 more years, they had to build bigger rides. 2 years after that, they had to build faster rides. 2 years after that, they'd tear this down and start again. Yeah. Listen, man has an unbelievable capacity for boredom. You can get bored with anything but God. You can get sick of anything but Jesus Christ. You can wear out any thrill and any opportunity other than the presence of the Holy Spirit and the blessed truths of the Word of God. Everything else make you sick to death. Amen. And then the third thing we see about the world, once you run out of money, you run out of friends. There's nobody. Hey, there's a big crowd trying to get you out of church because you got something to offer them. As soon as you got nothing to offer them, they're gone. They're gone. So there he is. And he's having a competition every night. We talked about sheep. Let's talk about pigs. Anybody ever raised pigs? He's having a competition every night. He'd throw the food in the pig pen, and then he'd try to get some of it. I promise you, he went hungry. You want to experiment in the Bible? You want practical Bible truth? Don't travel to the Holy Land. Find a pig farmer. Throw some ears of corn in there and then jump in and try and get you some. You're not getting any. That boy sat there watching pigs eat. Watching pigs eat. Listen, young lady. Before you leave this church, before you leave this kind of preaching, before you leave this kind of dressing, before you leave this kind of separation and righteousness, let me tell you something. You can get to the place where you envy hogs. You're better off in a father's house. Because I don't believe anybody can envy a pig. Really? How do you explain the popularity of Britney Spears? Lady Goo Goo and all the rest of that. All that is people envying hogs. Girls with a good mom and a good daddy and a good church and a good Bible and a good Sunday school teacher going on the internet and the TV and said, I wish I had what that pig's got. How's that? That's I say that in honor of the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. Amen. 17, when he came to himself, he said, I'm in a hired servant, so my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. We'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. We're not going to spend the night debating repentance, what it is, how it works, how somebody defines it, how somebody doesn't define it. I just know this. That boy didn't stay in that pig pen. That boy didn't keep thinking the way he was thinking when he left home. That boy didn't keep doing what he was doing when he was involved in that riotous living. Something changed. Changed on the inside, and the inside change made an outside change. He got out of that pig pen, headed home. Let me show you what changed. Look at verse 12. He said on the way out, Father, give me. Look at verse 19. Make me. That's what changed. He went from give me to make me. Your pastor and I are talking for service. Problem in our country. Reason America's in a mess it's in, reason our church is in a mess they're in, reason so hard to pastor in this day and age, everybody's two words out of their mouth, give me, give me, give me, give me. Somebody gets right with God, you know what they start saying? Make me. Make me. God, make me holy. God, make me righteous. God, make me humble. God, make me patient. God, make me loving. God, make me kind. He went from give me to make me. You say, I don't believe in repentance. He did. Something changed. Now don't corner me after service and argue about what do you mean by that. What I meant is he got out of the pig pen. That's what I mean. He went home. He went home. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says, verse 20, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, God the Father, in the salvation of a sinner, he's longing to see that sinner come home. He loves that sinner. He has compassion upon that sinner. He'll receive that sinner. But he's not going out and get in the pig pen with him in order to have a relationship with him. God is holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's pure. He's not going to adopt your music so he can dance with you. He's not going to adopt your nakedness so he can sit in a church with you. I keep forgetting. So he can sit in a center with you. Amen. And you go out there and tell that world, hey, God's changed. Come look and see. You like nightclubs? We're a nightclub. You like adultery? We got adultery. You like stealing and lying and cheating? We never mention it. We've got a new God. He's moved into the pig pen. Not so. Not so. This modern mega church, this God you can figure out in 40 days and figure out there's nothing to him. Amen. That's a God that somebody moved into their pig pen. That's not what you read in Luke 15. His arms are open. His eyes are looking. His heart is longing. He's ready and willing to receive sinners. But you're going to have to come to God. Jesus, listen. Let me quote Jesus. Let me quote the modern Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no God comes unto you but by me. God didn't come unto you through Jesus Christ. You are going to have to come to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. That means you have to leave where you are and get where he is. And the only way to get from where you are to where he is Jesus Christ. He's not coming in your pig pen. But he will welcome you back into his house. That's God the Father. He saves sinners, but he doesn't compromise with sinners. He saves sinners, but he doesn't meet them halfway. He saves sinners, but he doesn't bargain with them. He doesn't make deals with them. You come home, you're welcome. You stay where you are, you're just going to have to stay where you are. That's it. Now, so what's it say? This is a blessing. He's in a pig pen. He says in verse 18, I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Okay? Verse number 20. The son said, 21, son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Verse 18, and before thee. Verse 21, and in thy sight. Verse 19, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 21, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 19, make me as one of thy hired servants. 22, but the father said to his servants. That boy never got to finish saying, make me a servant. Because he didn't come home and become a servant. He came home as a son. Father said, I got servants. You're my son. You're my son. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become not the servants of God, but the sons of God. Even them that believe on his name. And so what did he do? He said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Hallelujah. Hey, when he left, did he not take with him all that he had coming? He said, Father, give me my portion. That means when he came home, there was nothing waiting at home to which he was entitled.
Right.
The robe was all grace. The ring was all grace. The shoes, all grace. The fatted calf, all grace. None of that was owed him. None of that belonged to him. It was all the gift. The gift of a father who's just glad to have him back. And so we see the part the Son plays in saving a sinner, the part the Holy Spirit plays in saving a sinner, the part the Father plays in saving a sinner. Isn't that all a blessing? I'm completely out of context. That's not what he's talking about. You want to see what he's talking about? Come back tomorrow. No, I'm just... Luke 15... verse number 1. Luke 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. What a blessing! Isn't that incredible? Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And at the same time, all the publicans and all the sinners are coming to Jesus at the same time. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them."
Yep.
And he spake this parable unto them, saying, aha. So the context of Luke 15 is some people griping about sinners coming to Jesus. Some people murmuring about publicans getting right with the Lord. Some people murmuring about Jesus receiving those they wouldn't receive. Look at verse number 6. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you likewise, that likewise joy should be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons need no repentance." Here's what he said. When that shepherd got home, he didn't just sit down in a chair and say, "Boy, that's a good day's work." He called his friends. And his friends left their dinner tables and their plows and their saws and their fishing nets. And they came to his house and he said, "Hey, look at that sheep. It was lost and I found it." And they were happy because he was happy. That's what friends do. You ever see somebody in a church or someplace tell a joke, it's a funny joke, and people don't just laugh, they turn and look at somebody else while they're laughing? You ever notice that? You will now. You know why they do that? There's something in us, we want our friends to participate in our joy. Something good happens to you, you just overflow in, your heart is full, you're excited. You know what you do? You pick up a phone. Some of you don't have to pick it up, you never put it down, but you use the phone. I was teaching class the other night, and the kids are all sitting there, and I said, now just picture this. You want to tell somebody something, and you go to the phone, and you. Now I was dialing the number, and they're all just sitting there wondering, what's he doing? How many of you have never dialed a number? Yeah. Anyway. We used to have CDs that big. Hard to go jogging with a record player. Tell you that. He called all his friends so they could rejoice with him. Jesus said to those Pharisees, that shepherd's friends were happy when he was happy. See all these sinners coming? I'm happy. How come you're not happy? You must not be my friend. Look in your Bible. Look in verse number 9. When she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." That woman found that coin, she called her friends. She wanted them to participate in her joy, and her friends were happy because she was happy. We had a incredible tragedy we dealt with all last week. Saturday we had a funeral at our church. Parents lost a 2-year-old child to drowning. We had another funeral the very next day. Faithful servant of Jesus Christ, woman 85 years old, went to be with the Lord. What a contrast, but death's passed upon all men. And somebody asked me on Friday, why do we even have these services? They hurt so much. Somebody said on Saturday, why do we even have these services? They're so painful. Because we weep with them that weep. When their hearts are broken, our hearts are broken. When their tears fall, our tears fall. When they rejoice, we rejoice. When they celebrate, we celebrate. That's what friends do. And Jesus turned to those Pharisees and turned to those scribes and said, look at all these people coming to me. I'm as happy as I can be. What's wrong with you? Now, brother and sister, I don't know you. I don't know a thing about you. But I know church. I know church people. I know churches come in different sizes, but they don't have different contents. And on a Sunday morning, that choir gets up with big smiles on their faces and sings praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a room full of people get a blessing, and so does God. And somebody says, I don't know why she's in the choir. And when they're singing that song, they just sung that song 3 weeks ago, and they could sing a better song than that. Then people walk around and shake hands. You know why? Because they're glad to be with people who aren't cussing, aren't taking God's name in vain, aren't using Jesus Christ as a swear word, aren't naked, aren't lying, aren't stealing from them. They're glad to be with their friends. You know, I don't know why we do this. Didn't we tell these people they're probably going to catch a cold or something? Yeah, man. That preacher gets up and preaches as boys and girls packed up, kissed mama goodbye, said goodbye to daddy, came all the way across the world eating macaroni and cheese 5 nights a week and go down to the laundromat and put their last quarter in a machine to clean their clothes. Hear this man preach the Bible and teach the word of God. And somebody sitting there saying, well, anyway, it's going so long. How can it be so long? If we didn't hurry up, we're gonna miss supper. Yeah, man. I'm telling you, those buses are full of kids, and somebody doesn't like those kids. People walking out and getting saved, and somebody saying, I don't think it's real. I don't think they mean it. I've seen that before. I'm telling you, in the midst of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, working miracles, saving souls, shining light, preaching truth, there were religious people sitting there not getting a single blessing, murmuring and griping through the whole thing. The Lord said, while my son's saving lost sheep, and while my Holy Spirit and my bride are finding lost coins, and while my father's receiving wayward sons, my friends are rejoicing. How about you? My friends are happy. How about you? That's what he said. And that's what he's talking about. Yes, look in your Bible in verse number 25. Now his elder son was in the field. Hey, listen. Brother Stephen said that we started the Bible Baptist Church there in 1987, and that's true. And that God, by his grace, we built that church up over 24 years. God's built a great church there. But we've also had a great hand in building up many other churches in our area. And nobody's ever left because they don't believe the King James Bible anymore.
Right.
And nobody's ever left because they've decided they don't believe in Trinity anymore.
Yeah.
And nobody's left because we've gone back on our statement, stand on the deity of Christ.
No.
And the preaching hadn't changed and the music hadn't changed. It's the same song books. They're held together with duct tape and glue and paste and it hadn't changed.
Yeah.
And the people there are still happy, singing with all their heart, witnessing with all their might, giving all they can, serving God the best of their ability. And in the midst of that, at any given time, somebody's folded up, poochy lip, getting sour.
Yes.
Yeah, you can watch it. I go from Brother James to Knox to that guy. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it can't be good enough. You got a sour spirit.
Right.
And the worst Sunday is better than being lost out there in that world if you got a good spirit.
Amen.
So look who comes in. 25. Now his elder son was in the field. Dun, dun, dun. You can hear the music change. Violins all go minor. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. So this is not a Baptist home. Kind of a Methodist sort of situation. Not the old Methodist, the new Methodist. And dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, listen, there's two reasons why we don't go contemporary. One, we don't have to apologize for Bible Christianity. And two, have you ever seen our crowd try to dance? I mean, it's best we just leave that alone. Just leave that to the professionals. Anyway, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. That had to be one of the all-time dumb questions. There's big celebration going on. You know, there's dancing, there's music, there's feasting. What do these things mean? And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He was angry. Servants are happy. The family's happy. The father's happy. His brother's happy. There's happiness everywhere. But he was angry. In the midst of that scene, he was angry. I hope I'm not preaching anybody here tonight. But tomorrow you could be that elder brother. It doesn't take much. One little slight, one little thing doesn't go your way. The flesh, oh, the flesh. He's angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I don't believe him. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now your pastor, back me up on this. When somebody starts getting a bad spirit, listen, you'll hear two words. Always and never.
Yes.
Well, I always, no you don't. Nobody always anything. Well, you never, that's not true. Nobody, a teenage girl, she gets all bitter and sour in her, she'll say to her mother, you're never nice to me. That's not true. You wouldn't be alive if she was never nice to you. That boy, he gets mad at his dad, say, you're always, no he's not. Sometimes he's at work, sometimes he's asleep, he's not always yelling at you. Now it may be that whenever you're together, he's always yelling at you, but he's not always yelling at you. He's church people. Well, that pastor, he's always preaching that. No preacher's always preaching anything.
Right.
Well, this church, I have problems. They never help me out. That's not true. You start using words like that, something wrong in your heart. Do you really believe that boy always did what pleased his father? I don't think so. You think his father never... if that father never did anything good for him, he'd have been long gone like the other brother. He's exact. And then watch this. Verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now I've heard preachers do this. I may have done it. If I have, by the grace of God, I'm not ever going to do it again. How many of you heard preaching about that prodigal son going out there and wasting his living with harlots? Hey, where'd he go when he left? Far country? Is that what it said? He went to far country? Where'd that elder brother say he'd been the whole time? Right there, he never left. Then he doesn't know what he did while he was gone. The Bible never said he was with a single harlot. He wasted his substance, we know that. He lived riotously, we know that. But that brother made that up. He's trying to make that thing look as bad as he possibly can. Boy, I'll tell you what. In a year, I've been in our town. We're there 2 years preaching on the street, knocking on doors before we started church. I've been here since 1985. By God's grace, I've not stolen a man's money. I've not been inappropriate to a man's wife or daughter. I've not been drunk. I've not had a drop of alcohol. I've not done any drugs. Well, illegal drugs. All mine were prescription. Elvis's doctor got them for me. And yet, all over that town, business people, community leaders, city council people, you'd think that I was a number one drug peddler. You'd think I was a number one kidnapper. You'd think I was a leading cause of death and divorce and disease. The lies they tell, the stories they make up, the accusations they hurl about, and most of them, they got half of it from people I've led to the Lord and taught the Bible. When you get sour, you want to justify your sour spirit. You get bitter, you want to justify your bitterness. You'll say things about this preacher you know aren't true. You'll say things about this church you know never happened. You'll tell tales about things that the people did to you and said to you that you know nobody did that. Why would you want to live like that when you could be happy? When you could enjoy these songs, enjoy singing these hymns, enjoy the preaching of the Word of God. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Don't let that stuff get in your heart. Amen. Bible says in 31, he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with... Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing about bitterness. Look at 27. He said unto him, thy brother is come. 31, he said unto him, 30... As soon as this, thy son was come. He couldn't say, my brother. He couldn't say, my brother. Don't get there. Don't get there. Come on. Get that thing out of your heart. He said, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet. It's right. It's proper that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. We. He said, son, they're happy. Son, I'm happy. Son, we should be happy. He said to the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the critics, the fault finders, come on, come on. We should make merry. We should be happy. Here's what I believe. I believe this. With all my heart, I believe this. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize to God. I believe this. There are almost 3 billion people in this world right now. You know what I believe? Somewhere right now, somebody's getting saved. Right now. Somebody's getting saved. It might be somebody door knocking in DeLand. It might be somebody out witnessing a public place in Toledo, Ohio. It might be a man on the job in Haines City. It might be somebody in the Bahamas. It might be somebody in the Philippines. It might be somebody in Russia. Somebody right now, I believe somebody's getting saved right now. Yeah. Isn't that why Jesus hung on that cross? Isn't that why God the Father turned out those lights and forsook his Son? Isn't that why the Holy Ghost was sent in this world? Isn't it God's good pleasure to save sinners? Isn't he doing that right now? Then let's be happy. Let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. Let's be friends to Jesus Christ. He said, when I'm happy, my friends are happy. He's calling all his friends together. That's why we fellowship together. That's why we come together. That's why we take out our songbooks. That's why we take out our Bibles. That's why we extend the hand of fellowship, so we can rejoice together with our soul-saving God. Amen. Somebody do something wrong before this service is over. It's probably been me. Are you going to dwell on that?
Yep.
With all God's doing? Somebody going to misstep here or there? You going to dwell on that with all God's doing? I'll tell you one story and I'm through. I was preaching up a little church in South Carolina, middle of last year. And this, the first night of the meeting, this woman, God so spoke to her heart. She said, I want the children of this community to hear this preaching. She left work early. She came borrowed a church van. She drove up and down those streets from house to house to house to house and gathered up boys and girls come to church and hear the preaching. She told those parents, she said, I'll feed them, I'll take care of it. And when they got to the church, she, out of her own pocket, she'd bought them all a sandwich and some potato chips and something to drink. And those boys and girls, I mean wild kids, some of them barefoot, some of them hair everywhere, some of them, you know, the head on those pants that the police like because you can't run. And they had all that. And those kids all sat over in the front side and they listened to the preaching of the Word of God. And the close of that service, a girl 13 years old came up. That woman and the pastor got to lead that girl to saving faith in Jesus Christ. That service ended. Piano players playing and people are leaving and going out, and those boys and girls run out to get on that van, and I watched this woman come and meet the preacher in the aisle, and she was lighting him up. I mean, she was preaching at him like Joyce Meyer on a roll. She letting him have it. That preacher came up, she got done, he came up, sat down at front pew, and his eyes, had tears in his eyes. And when it sat down, I said, preacher, what's the matter? He said, that woman is screaming and yelling at me for bringing these children in here and showing me they got potato chips on the carpet.
Yep. Amen.
Somebody just got saved.
Yes.
A little girl may now end up a missionary instead of bringing babies into the world not knowing who their daddy is.
Right.
A little girl who may turn out to be a preacher's wife or a great soul winner who could have been a drug addict or a drunkard or a prostitute.
Amen. Amen.
And that woman missed the whole thing looking at some broken potato chips on the carpet.
Amen.
That preacher's wife went back there, took out a vacuum, cleaned those potato chips up with tears on her face while that woman stood there yelling in her ear about what those children had done. She was in church. She was in a revival meeting. She sung the songs. But she missed what made the Father happy. She missed what made the Savior happy. She missed what made the Spirit and the Bride happy. That's what he's talking about. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Maybe you're spoiled. Maybe you ought to do tomorrow what I did today. Stand, look at that college building. Stand and look at those school buildings. Stand and look at that village. Stand and look at this church building. And just thank God for what he decided to do in one little town, in one little corner of this world.
Amen.
Don't miss all of this over some potato chips on the carpet.
Amen.
It doesn't take much to bless your heart if you want to be blessed. And it doesn't take much to make you murmur if you want to murmur. God's saving souls. Jesus is changing lives. The Holy Spirit's making new creatures. Are you his friend?